You're listening to Currency of Style Podcast, episode number 3. Welcome to Currency of Style Podcast. I am your host, Eva Kelly. This podcast is about supporting women rise in their career, encouraging you to reach for new opportunities and to find more success by elevating your style.
Tanae, thank you so much for joining me today on the Currency of Style podcast. It's absolutely an honor to have you here. When I saw your LinkedIn profile and what you wrote in the bio, I was just like, you're perfect to guide women in tech and inspire us. And it seems to be something you're really interested in. So thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honestly honored. I think it's going to be a great conversation that we can have. Talk about my experience in tech.
I noticed you work at Microsoft. For all that, where did your love of tech start?
So I'm going to date myself back in. I used to be a little gamer child. I loved playing video games when I was younger. So I was always playing on the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, 3, 4. I just had a love for video games. And so when I was picking a college and a degree, I was like, I want to become a video game designer. And I, you know, tried to pursue that. So I took engineering classes. I took AP computer science in high school and looked at colleges that had game design programs. And computer science was kind of like the gateway into that. After taking computer science classes in high school, I didn't like it. And so I thought that it would be better in college anyway. So I was like, let me just try it in college. Let's see what it does. And I then looked at in the video game industry, it's kind of a very toxic culture, very male dominated. And also it's more like the reliability of the job that I was like, this probably ain't the greatest fit for me. So I decided that I was just going to go into computer science, become a software engineer. And so I pursued computer science at my university. And if I'm being honest, I actually hated it. So
do you mean like for the 4 years you were doing computer science at college, you struggled, you didn't like it?
It was very much of a struggle for me. And it wasn't because like I was in the wrong degree or anything. It was really because my imposter syndrome was like at its highest point, highest peak. And so it caused me to feel that I wasn't really worthy to be a computer science major. And then there wasn't a lot of representation of people like myself, other women who were in the degree. I think when I graduated, there was only one of two women out of a graduating class of 14. And then out of all like IT, CIS, all those degrees, it was about 40 people total. I would say maybe about 5 to 7 were women.
It was actually the same for me. I was doing advanced materials at Trinity in Dublin, and I was the only girl in a class of 9 men.
Wow.
It's so underrepresented, and it does make a difference, doesn't it? You feel that imposter syndrome, as you're saying. I totally experienced it as well. Was there anyone to support you during those years?
Yeah, I definitely had my peers that, you know, also were females, also pursuing computer science. I had teachers that, you know, believed me, said that I was a great programmer. I was going to be a great software engineer. Getting into my first career, you know, I started working at Raytheon Technology as a software engineer. And in that job, I got to meet a lot of different people, and I did have mentors that really helped me just like feel that I wasn't alone. And a lot of my mentors are very powerful, strong women of color, women in tech who do have a background in computer science. Like they've always been in the technical field. So I felt honored to like have like my mentors within Raytheon and now within Microsoft that have always been super supportive and like have heard me and been able to relate to certain experiences that I've had.
When was it that you chose to do the job you're in now, like with Microsoft as a site engineer? Was that kind of the end goal to get to a big company like Microsoft?
Okay, so I've always had the dream to work for a big tech company. Like that was, you know, me as a young little, you know, Tanae back in college was like, you know, I want to work for Apple or Google, Facebook, Meta. I wanted to work for those big companies, but my imposter syndrome basically told me like, good luck. So whenever I was working at Raytheon, I was trying to pursue a new job opportunity just because I just felt that I wanted to change. I didn't see myself growing in the company anymore. And I think I needed to pursue something different. So funny, it was actually Microsoft reached out to me. I thought it was a joke. They showed up in my inbox and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a scam, but it was a guy who represented a part of Microsoft that works with the government. And he's like, hey, I saw your resume. I see that you have everything we're looking for. Like, let's chat. And I was like, you know what? Let me see what's going on here. I'll chat. And from talking to him, I actually found out it was legit. And I talked to him, told him my passions, my opportunities, and why I was wanting to grow. And he's like, everything lines up with Microsoft's values and standards and morals. And I was like, this is the honestly the opportunity that I need. So I pursued it. I went through the entirety of preparing for an interview because I wanted this job so bad once I knew that they wanted me.
Yeah, so it's so rare that somebody reaches out to you. Like, that is such a compliment.
I was screaming it from the rooftops.
And you're quite young in your career, so you only had worked with Raytheon Technologies before.
Raytheon Technology. Yeah, I was only there for about 2 years. So going into Microsoft and, you know, when I finally got the actual job offer, I cried because it was something that I wanted so badly in my life. And, you know, I tell myself that if you would have told young Tanae at college, being like, hey, you're going to work for, you know, one of the largest tech companies, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have been like, you are lying to me. And so to see myself grow in that way, and like, I was living in Texas at the time. So to know that I get to relocate all the way to the West Coast, which was also a dream of mine. It was just a dream come true in all different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Where in the West Coast are you?
So I'm based in Seattle. I'm at their headquarters. So in Redmond. Yeah. And so being able to relocate from Dallas, Texas to Seattle, Washington was like just an experience in itself. And I've always dreamed of living on the West Coast. So young Tanae was absolutely thriving and loving everything about working for this company, especially because I had recently come out as non-binary and I was working in the defense industry, which can sometimes not be very accepting of people who are on the LGBTQ plus community. I was the only person in my company that had pride flags flying at my desk. I'm openly gay. I'm openly non-binary. And sometimes that could rub people the wrong way, depending on the workplace. So I wanted to also change because I wanted a more accepting workplace for someone like me. And Microsoft blew it out of the water with that. They absolutely are super accepting. People ask me my pronouns. It's very open and they're very accepting for every person of every background, ethnicity, orientation, and identity.
That's fantastic. It's so brave of you to have, you know, like you're saying, put the little flags and things to show and demonstrate who you are and to really own who you are in the workplace. And that's kind of one of my aims of doing this podcast. I really want people to own who they are as women, whatever minority they are as well, and just to fully come into their own and be their true style. Because when you show up that way in work, everybody benefits because your team are going to do better. Your boss is going to be happier with your performance because you're going to be working with ease and confidence in your true self. And then you can feel accepted at work and do better. I just think it's a win-win for everyone. But that imposter syndrome is so prevalent amongst women, I think, especially.
Yeah, it's hard that a lot of, you know, women and people who identify as women, they, you know, hold a lot of themselves back in the tech industry or put on a cold front to basically compete with their male coworkers. For me, just being not only, you know, I was born a female, being non-binary now and being a woman, you know, as I was a woman before and being openly gay, I tell myself I spent enough years in the closet, I'm not going back. So I'm going to be out and open my and openly proud of who I am. And if people don't agree with that, they're the ones that have a problem. I'm not going to change myself because I've already done that before. I'm not going to do it again.
Doesn't work. Mm-mm. Did anything happen? Because I'm just thinking, like, you're really young to reach that level in your life where you can see things this way. What do you think strengthened you to have this strength in yourself?
I think it was a lot of just personal growth and being in a workplace where I knew that I could thrive, but I knew that a more accepting workplace would help me even grow and more would be kind of the way that I truly can hone into everything that I am as a person. And I'm still young. I'm, you know, 25, about to be 26, and I have so much left to experience, but I want to make sure that I'm not sacrificing myself or who I am just because of the societal expectations of what I should be doing.
Yeah, and I think you're right when you say that you were attracted to Microsoft, a big company, because you really do need the support of your company when you want to fully become who you are at the workplace. Like, that does help. I mean, we're not robots. We're not super, super strong. And, you know, it would be very hard for you to be in an environment where there wasn't that acceptance.
Mm-hmm. It was. I didn't hide myself or, you know, hold myself back. As soon as I walked in the company, I, you know, was wearing more masculine presenting clothing. You know, I would tell people my pronouns whenever they did change, and they didn't change until, you know, kind of towards when I was leaving the company. And just working in the defense industry in general, it's already kind of a lot to take on and work in. Knowing where I started and knowing that this was where I was going to end up is really funny to me, just because I'm like, who let me work for these big companies? But at the same time, I'm like, I know, like, I earned it and truly manifested what I wanted for myself. So
it's amazing. You do any visualization techniques?
When I was preparing for my Microsoft interview, I started studying a month before my actual interview day, which is a whole day in itself of 4 45-minute interviews back to back. It was very intense. It was technical based, behavioral, all the whole works. So leading up to that, I studied every day. Like after I went to the gym, I would go and I'll study for like an hour and a half, like every day. And then I would tell myself affirmations. I'll be like, you're going to get this job with Microsoft. You're going to get this job with Microsoft. They're going to want you. You are a smart, badass individual. You're going to get this job. Like they have no say to say no to you. And even the interview day, between each interview, I had about 15 minutes. And I'd be like, you rock that interview. You're going to rock this next one. You're going to show them that you're smart, that you know what you're doing, you're capable, and you'll be a great employee. That was one of the best interviews I ever had in my entire career so far. And it was just doing those positive affirmations.
Oh my God, that's such a great advice for us. Anyone going for a job interview, it is that self-belief that changes everything. And even the way you're saying it now, I can imagine that just made a big change to your confidence.
Yes, definitely. It definitely helps a lot to help quiet the inner demons that, you know, you fight day to day. And maybe it's not imposter syndrome. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it might be some mental illness that you're struggling and working and fighting with. Like I have generalized anxiety disorder. So I, on top of imposter syndrome, I just have a constant wave of overthinking. And so trying to quiet a lot of those just loud voices, like what I like to call my committee, and tell them, hey, we got this. We're good. Y'all got to shut up now.
That's so good. Could you repeat what you have? What type of syndrome you just mentioned?
I have general anxiety disorder.
Is that diagnosed?
Yes, that was diagnosed from my therapist. I still am in therapy because I think that there's always room for improvement. And I have things that I personally struggle with in my personal life that I think that a therapist helps. And I've been in therapy ever since I was like in fifth grade. So it's been really helpful. And she opened it up like, yes, you have these things, which this is why it makes it harder for you. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yes, because then you can understand you have maybe more of a struggle than the average person. And with that clarity can change everything.
Exactly. Having that clarity really helped open up being like, okay, this is why I do these things. And then helping in like my personal relationships, you know, it's like, okay, like this is where I tend to go when things happen. This is how I respond to my environment. I need to change my trigger responses and how I'm responding. And I need to work on making sure that that pain is being able to be self-soothed by myself, because I can't rely on anyone to soothe my pain.
That's so, so true. So going back to your job, can you tell us a bit about what your role is?
Yeah, so I'm a site reliability engineer for Microsoft. I work specifically in Office 365, so like Word, Outlook, SharePoint, PowerPoint, Excel, all that fun stuff. Specifically, what I do is that I work on actually making sure that that is up and running for the government, for the federal government here in the United States. So we are working on, you know, making sure that government has access to our Microsoft Office products. Specifically, my team works with like Outlook and other like, you know, access to protocols and policies too. So my typical day looks like, you know, we run in an agile format. So, and we're working on getting more into Scrum and agile, usually like meetings, catching up on work, seeing what you're working on. It could be anything from deploying a new build out for a certain service that we work on. We have two different environments that we work in. So it could be that you're trying to onboard a service for one environment and deploy a different service for a different environment. There's a lot of different things. We have a lot of different services we cover. So it kind of can be a mixed bag of, you know, either doing some testing, deploying, building, onboarding. So yeah, there's a lot, just because like right now we're trying to build it all out. But as soon as like we open it for the consumers, then it's going to be making sure that if there are any fires that we can put it out. You know, we are the person that is reliable for access to make sure that people have access to our resources. As a site reliability engineer, we're in charge. Like if IT gets the call and they don't know what to do, they call us. And then we have to go diagnose the problem, figure out what's going on, and then tell the engineers on the component side saying, hey, y'all need to go fix this. Y'all send out a patch, send out a new build. And then we make sure that our customers have access to our products.
Okay. So would you consider your customer then the government?
Yes. So our customer is different departments within the government. You do have to be a U.S. citizen and you have to be able to hold a security clearance of some sort and go through a security clearance process to hold that clearance as well. And so Microsoft was like, okay, you have what we need, which is the main part. So it made it even easier.
Just talking about the imposter syndrome, were you ever tempted to try to get more degrees, like a master's and a PhD?
So there was a brief time in my career where I had actually gotten out of the technical role and gone into a more business role for a brief time at Raytheon, where I left software engineering and actually pursued being a workforce development planner, which was kind of more on the business side of engineering. So I was helping engineers with a mentorship program, and I was help coordinating all of that. In that time, unfortunately, the company went through a reorganization and I didn't have my job anymore. So when I was trying to figure out what to do with my life, because this happened in the midst of 2020 during COVID, I was looking at what I could do. So I almost left the tech industry altogether because I thought that I didn't belong because my imposter syndrome was at its worst. And so I thought, like, well, maybe if I get another degree or maybe if I get a certification, that would help me. But my then problem is, what would I get a degree in? I'm still thinking about it. I really want to get a certification in program management just because I really want to go down that route. I feel that I have the expertise and the personality to be a great program manager one day. So I would love to get a certification in that. I'm just trying to figure out how I can get it funded so that I don't have to pay like $1,700.
Does that role itself, what does it involve?
So this can be a technical or a non-technical role. I want to go more of the technical route. So program management is you're basically in charge of making sure that things are being hit. We are delivering our services. So like, and I guess in my role, we have a program manager. He makes sure that we are delivering, that if there's any impediments, so like if we get blocked on something or we need communication, basically he's our guy to go and be like, okay, I'm going to get you this. They also make sure that, you know, the different types of costs that we're running, they do a lot of different things to make sure that we can just deliver the product to our customers by a certain time and date. It's a very service leadership type of job.
Okay, great. And do you actually manage people at the moment?
I do not. So I am a, you know, a little fish in a big pond right now.
But it's all ahead of you.
It's all ahead of me. It's definitely a journey and a path that I want to travel down. I definitely have the personality and I, you know, shown that I would be a great program manager. And I hope to become a leader in a company one day. And I definitely would love to have the visibility of like, hey, like I am an openly queer, non-binary person. I'm in a leadership position. So if someone like me can make it, so can anyone else who identifies my way or different than me.
You'll be absolutely a role model.
Yes, I hope to be one day. And I think slowly but surely we're getting there.
What would be the least enjoyable parts of your job?
Oh, least enjoyable parts of my job. Probably because like right now we are in a lot of build out mode. So there is not a lot of developing. And I come from a background of software engineering. So I know how to code. I know how to program. I like creating things. I like to build things. Me being the person that I am, I want to make people's lives easier. So we don't have a lot of that creativity at the moment. From our leadership, they say that it's coming. I'm hopeful that we do get there at a point. But I think right now it's just because we don't do a lot of developing and we have to talk to a lot of component teams and engineers. Sometimes translation and communication is not the greatest. So it kind of makes it difficult for us to get stuff done. We need them to do a build or we need them to communicate like something that we need to know about. And, you know, it can take days, weeks, months sometimes before we can get a response.
I was just thinking of your career trajectory so far. You landed this brilliant opportunity because they reached out to you, you were saying. But as you look ahead and you want to reach for higher goals in your career, how do you think you're going to handle it?
I'm always going to strive to go down the path I want to go down. I'm a very, I would say, a stubborn person. You can ask my girlfriend, but I also have just the passion for it. And I've already tried putting myself into a program management role many times already. There was a time when I'm working at Microsoft where, you know, our program manager went on parental leave because he had, you know, a new baby coming. So he was going to go and help. And so we didn't have a program manager. And, you know, they're very much about the organization of the team, making sure that, you know, meetings are getting scheduled and time allotted. And so I told my manager, I was like, I want to be the program manager. And he's like, okay. And so I was the interim program manager for my team until the original program manager came back because I wanted to do it. And so I even tried talking to the leads of the program manager. Like there's a group and tried talking to the managers and the leads there to be like, hey, like, I really want to be a program manager. How can I make this happen? I interviewed for a job to be a program manager after being at Microsoft for about 4 months. I didn't get it, unfortunately, but I still am hopeful that if someone will see it one day and they know that I have the expertise, that I'll get that job. But I'm still going to always market myself as someone who is ready to go into a higher role.
That's fantastic. So say one of our listeners really wants more responsibility at their company now, and they're looking for this promotion. How do you suggest they go about achieving this?
So I'd say one, make it known to your manager. Your manager is going to be the person that definitely will help in those ways. If you don't have a very helpful manager, I have a very helpful manager. So he definitely is always trying to help me. He knows that I want this for myself. So he's going to help me anyway to get it. If you don't have that, use the network that you can build. And maybe you have the network, maybe you can build it yourself. I have mentors inside and outside the company. I have a lot of connections. And so anytime I'm in a networking event, happy hour, ERG event, I always am talking about, oh, this is what I'm doing now, but this is what I want to do. Because you never know who you're going to meet. I was at a Hispanic meetup because I am half Mexican. And I was talking to people at my table and I was like, yeah, like I'm a site reliability engineer. I just got here. But I want to go to program management. Lo and behold, someone at the table was a program manager who was looking at hiring other program managers. And so she's like, I want to talk to you. And I was like, let's talk. So we have a talk scheduled. I want to know more about the role. I want to know what it takes. I want to know more about their perspective. And so again, you never know who you're going to meet. So always have your little elevator pitch ready, because you can always just slip that in and you never know who might hear it.
Yeah, I love that you did that. I think networking is so important.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so do you feel style plays a role in how you show up in your job?
Oh, absolutely. You can ask anyone. I'm the best dressed software engineer they're probably ever in. Because if you work in the tech industry and see the tech industry, anyone will know that software engineers don't know how to dress. You know, it's the same cargo shorts and hoodies every day. Don't laugh at me now, but I am wearing a hoodie, but it's a nice hoodie because I just got off a flight. So I like to dress up and I like to bring my personality in my clothing.
Yeah.
I will wear felt hats. I will wear very extra clothing. I will wear clothing that stands out in a software engineering technical role. Why? Because I like it and it gives me confidence, because I'm like, I look good. I know I look good. I look important, even though I might not be. And so I think that style, it does play a role in the sense of giving yourself confidence and showing who you are, not only on the inside, but on the outside, you know. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm always going to judge people for what they wear. No, this is just for me personally, you know, wear what makes you feel comfortable and what makes you feel confident, you know. And if that's hoodie and jeans every day, my friend, go for it. I like to dress up. I like to wear accessories. Like, you know, I'm non-binary, so I have worn masculine and feminine clothing. I, you know, have worn like hats. I've worn different types of like belts and chains and different types of jeans because I like to be extra. I look like someone who works in marketing half the time.
Why not? I mean, the tech world, the way people dress mostly, it is so mundane. And I think it's encouraged because of, you know, Zuckerberg with the hoodie, like that's the kind of known look, and exactly. Keeping low-key and non-creative. But yeah, I think as women, we have that advantage. We can, you know, dress wild and colorful. And I think personally, it does give you that edge because you feel, as you just said, you feel important. You might not be, but you feel more important, or you feel more confident.
Exactly. I even went viral on TikTok for a little bit because I posted a TikTok about how the way that I dress being a software engineer, and I coined the term computer science poppy because what I was wearing was very looking like a Miami like poppy. That's what I said. And that video ended up going a little bit viral to where, you know, people were just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I'm also a software engineer and I also dress this way, or man, I wish more software engineers dressed this way. I think it's fun. And for me, I get a kick out of it because I also like, what type of new outfit am I going to do today?
Yeah, exactly. So I was going to ask then, looking back over the last few years since you left college, what's been your greatest achievement?
That is a really good question because there's been so many wins that I've had. You know, just working at Microsoft and finding myself here, probably a big win for me. I am also a public speaker, and I've been working on getting more into public speaking. So just in this past year alone, I have spoken at like 5 or so different speaking engagements, speaking internally in Microsoft. I spoke at hackathons for high school kids. I've spoken for the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency for the United States. I also then spoke at my first ever conference, which was a Women in Tech conference. That is a global conference as well. So I would say that doing those speaking engagements and like kind of help building up that repertoire of being a public speaker really helped me be like, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this, and finding a new hobby that I like to dive into.
That's fantastic. So in summary, what 3 pieces of advice would you offer to women in the workplace who want to succeed like you have?
I would say that a good piece of advice is, you know, always recognize your achievements, even if they're small. Any achievement is an achievement. It could just be that you completed college and got a degree. It could be that, you know, you went from a software engineer 1 to a software engineer 2. You know, I think that no achievement is too small, and recognizing all of those can help kind of quiet those imposter syndrome voices. Is it easy to do? No, it's not. It's going to take a little bit of time and effort. Another piece of advice is, you know, always hone into what makes you feel confident and what makes you bring your full self into work. I find that, you know, people like to kind of like have the separation between work life and personal life. I completely respect that as well. I am too loud and too obnoxious to not. So I very much am open about my personal life, because I feel like I can even get support from my coworkers and my managers in that way. You know, I'm a competitive boxer too. And so when I had a fight coming up, you know, I had people ask me like, oh, how did the fight go? Luckily I won. So again, bring your whole self into work in the battle in itself, but doing stuff that makes you feel confident will help with that. And a last piece of advice, always be open to connections. Whether it be networking, friendships, relationships, whatever, always be open to connections. I have a tattoo on my arm. It's a camera, but it wraps around my arm. And it means that to connect with others, you know, everyone has a story to tell, and everyone's ready to listen to a story sometimes too. You never know who's ready to listen to your story and who thinks that their story and your story have a path together. So I think those are 3 pieces of advice. Just open yourself up to the world, open yourself up to yourself, and don't let the others tell you otherwise.
That is so helpful. Danae, if people want to reach out to you, would you be okay with that?
I would be absolutely okay with that. If anyone ever wants to ask me any questions, whether it be about the LGBTQ in the workforce, a non-binary, being a woman, anything at all, I am an open book, as I say. They definitely can reach out to me on like LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is 10ACIOST, like tenacious, but 10A. And then if you want to see the hubbubaloo I get on TikTok, it's the same handle. LinkedIn definitely, though.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for your time and all the nuggets of wisdom that you shared with the listeners today. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on in this podcast. I am so honored, and I'm really, really glad that I've been able to talk to you and have a great conversation. And I think that so much is going to go far with you and what you're pursuing in your life. So I'm sending you all the positive energy, all the positive vibes to you, and knowing that you're going to take it out of the park, sis. You got this.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Eva, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your night over there in Ireland, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Thank you. Have a great day in Seattle.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, if you are ready to get that promotion, I want to invite you to work with me one-on-one for 6 weeks. My unique combination of style, confidence, and career coaching gets results. We start with style, because when you feel great in what you are wearing, you're ready to stand in your own true power. My goal is to see you succeed, so you either get that promotion or I give you your 1K back. Just head over to www.currencyofstyle.com/workwithme. I'll see you there.